Hello, Action Army. If you're watching this, we're probably dead. Just kidding. We're here. It's probably a pre-tape, though, because we had to do this because of a busy spring and summer season for Andrew and myself traveling. We're covering The Dark Knight today. No, that's not true. We're covering The Dark Knight Rises today. We covered The Dark Knight. It was great. We're so crazy. We're going to see you in a second talking The Dark Knight Rises.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
At least this is a normal intro.
This is great. Did you guys like that intro?
I'll be taking over the intros from now on.
It's because we're so excited. There couldn't be an easier episode for us to do of this show.
We're pumped up. Well, yeah.
I don't know, man.
It does nicely hit the kind of in-between of, like, it's not a movie that's in our top three or five most important movies. So yeah. It's not like Warrior or, like, The Rock, where we feel like this obligation to do it right.
Right.
It's sort of like, it's just a movie that we both love a lot and, like, is so quotable.
Yeah, and it's the thing that's more quotable about it than The Dark Knight, I think, is that doing Bane's voice is fun, whereas if you do the Joker's voice wrong, people are just kind of like, you sound like an idiot.
You're dumb, Andrew. Yeah,
why are you trying so hard, Ben?
So yes, we are here. It's Action Movie Anatomy. We're talking The Dark Knight Rises. As you guys know, we expanded the rules on the show of the movies we're going to allow ourselves to do, and so we have done now a bunch of movies in the comic book sort of genre, and this one fits the bill. We wanted to make sure we had this, as I mentioned, it's a pre-tape, in the can, so that at any point in time, if we absolutely had to miss a week, you guys didn't miss a week, and you would get an episode, and it would be in a movie that we freaking love.
Yeah, it'd be an amazing episode. So we don't know where you are. We don't know what day. I mean, I'm sure it's a Wednesday. We don't know what month it is. But we are talking The Dark Knight Rises, one of our absolute favorites. I'm Andrew Guy.
I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, if you want to follow along with the show, you can find the show Twitter at AMA Podcast. And on top of that, we have a Facebook fan page.
So many things.
It's a cool fan page. Our loyal, incredible, wonderful fans. You know, I wish we had congratulated Jonas
on becoming a moderator earlier.
On the last episode.
Yeah, because we don't know when this one's airing.
This might air in 3 months.
This could be airing in 2020. Jonas, congratulations.
When that happened to you, Jonas, it was a big deal.
It's a big deal for everybody.
Congratulations. And so, yes, we are here to talk about this movie, and you can find us all over the place. We have a patreon.com/teamaction. We talk about movie stuff on our own channel and our own place. You can go find that. If you donate $5, you can, you know, talk about movies and send in your top five list. We'll break them down on the videos for you, and that's the thing we do. So this show covers action movies that adhere to four basic rules.
It does, and this one is gonna be it's gonna be close. It's not gonna make it rules though. So rule number one: the hero always plays by their own rules. He's Batman.
Yes,
he is the definition of playing by his own rules. The only thing that could play by their rules more would be as if Denzel played Batman.
The hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you, in the room. I mean, Bane's a genius. He's a tactical genius. So is Batman.
And technically, since Miranda Tate is the true villain, she is actually the smartest person.
Do
in the
you
room
mean
as well.
Talia al Ghul?
Wait, why did I say Miranda Tate?
That's what the name she goes by until you find out that she's Talia.
Oh yeah, no, that's her name. Yeah.
I wasn't correcting you. I was merely adding to the conversation.
Like, what do I feel? Rule number three: the movie is driven by police, military, or political figure. It misses there. He's a vigilante.
He's a vigilante. Yeah. Rule number four: the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. Yeah, one exploding football field.
Yeah, one exploding football field. Planes blowing up. I mean, if it's a Nolan movie with Batman in it, there's going to be things blowing up.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, once again, guys, this is the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies, all things movie-related and doing pop culture by the bucket. Well, I'm struggling
today. Are you okay?
I'm having a hard time today.
Yeah, and without further ado, we're going to hop into an excellent trailer.
Excellent, excellent trailer.
Yeah, stop talking.
I auditioned for this role.
Did you? I can see you going to the last call.
You are as
final round.
To me as you were to your own mother and father. I swore to them that I would protect you, and I haven't.
Michael Caine crying voice is pretty fantastic.
Yes. There are some bad things about this movie. The reason this movie is so misunderstood by people and is so underrated is that it has some very, very bad scenes. It has some, like, a couple parts of the movie you're like, this did not need to be in the movie.
Really?
I think this movie misses in some major parts. Yeah, there's some parts of it that are, like, really ridiculous. It's overly long in some ways.
What?
We'll talk.
Yeah, we will. I'm very curious to see.
I can't stand
the Alfred, I didn't give you the letter scene.
Yeah, I don't
goodbye,
like
Alfred.
Yeah, I don't like that Alfred is anything other than completely dedicated to Wayne in this movie. It bothers me.
I don't like Alfred in this movie very much because I also dislike his, it's my time to tell you another story.
Yeah, about it.
Here's another monologue.
Yeah. What does that mean? Rise.
So sweet.
Yeah.
That's honestly Heinz Ward's greatest run.
Yeah.
When Gotham is ashes, you have my permission to die.
That's so cool. God, it looks so sick.
Yeah.
This movie was a really, really big deal when it was.
It was the biggest of deals, you know?
It's about as hyped as it gets.
What comes after the Joker? You know, like, what could possibly be as good? And how can you end this trilogy?
And don't forget that he had done Inception between movies.
Which is also just insane that he decided to just do Dark Knight, Inception, Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, he had done Inception
and then
between
Prestige
movies.
Was in 2008?
Six.
So
it goes, goes Begins, Prestige, Dark Knight, Inception, Rises. It's a hell of a run.
I mean, there's a reason why he's basically the greatest living director now.
Yeah, I would agree. So upcoming today on the show, guys, we are going to talk about all of the fun things that you have come to know and love on the show as well. So we are going to compare the opening two scenes, the opening scene to Dark Knight and the opening scene to Dark Knight Rises, as well as a comparison of villains, Bane versus the Joker. I know you think you know the answer to that question, but stay tuned. You'll hear us break that discussion down for you in full. Let's get into thesis statement.
Yeah.
This is your biggest, boldest thought about the film. It is the thing that you would talk about at a party. If the subject came up and you wanted to talk about this movie, you say, I'm going to talk to you about this because this is the thing you need to know. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest, this, the only, this should never be. My favorite scene in the movie is this. If that's the case and you can really sell me on your favorite scene, then it should just be the greatest scene.
The greatest scene ever. Yes.
Ever.
So for me, I'm going to go in and I'm going to, so I had trouble with one, and that was basically that, like, the way that they handle the demise of the villains in the trilogy, in the Dark Knight trilogy, is the most lazy part of the entire trilogy. It is the only one that they have any excuse on. It is obviously Heath Ledger because he died. Other than that, Two-Face, I actually like Ra's al Ghul's death, but most people think it's stupid.
That's the where he's on
the
subway,
train at
the
end. Yeah, yeah. Mind your surroundings. He's like, I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you. Yeah. I love that. I love it personally.
Yeah, yeah.
Bane gets shot by the bat bike when he's about to kill Batman, and then Talia gets, like, it's all, they're all kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it feels,
the bat bike.
It just feels like, I don't think that's like a really good thesis. Like, I feel like it's kind of too loose, right?
Yeah.
So then my real thesis is, on paper and in performance, Anne Hathaway as Selina Kyle is the best cast in the entire trilogy.
Whoa. That's insane.
No, it's not. Do you remember how people acted when Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker?
Yeah.
There was outrage.
Yep.
People were up in arms. That's why I said in paper, on paper, and in performance. Not just on performance.
Like, you think that when she was announced, you were like, that's perfect.
I think that when she was announced, I was like, that makes sense. And then watching it, she's perfect. Whereas, like, you see Heath Ledger, and you're like, okay, no. And then you watch it, you're like, oh my God, that's the greatest thing ever. Tom Hardy is Bane. You're like, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's not going to be as good as the Joker. The way he plays it is excellent. But her as Catwoman, as Selina Kyle, her meek, trembling voice, her sexiness, her badassery, her screaming when the cops come in.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
She does such a great job of balancing power, prowess, and meekness
and
in this performance.
Her sex appeal that she manages to, like, wield as a tool in this movie. She is really impressive as Catwoman.
The only person I've ever seen on screen with Batman where I'm like, can you keep up, bro?
Yeah.
No one else.
Yeah, totally.
Not even the old Selina Kyle, even though I love, what is her name? I'm forgetting it right
Michelle
now.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
But it's just not. So for me, and again, this is, you got to remember, on paper and performance, the best cast in the entire trilogy.
I think that one problem with her in the movies is has less to do with her and more to do with the fact that she has absolutely zero chemistry with Christian Bale. The two of them together don't really do anything for me. They're like, they just don't.
But I don't think it's because of her. I think it's because of him.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think it's because he, as Batman, Batman's one of those things, it's like, you don't really want to see Ethan Hunt or Batman have sex with someone.
Yeah.
You just don't.
I never want to see Tom Cruise have sex with anything.
Unless it's himself.
weird. What's going on weird, with this show
weird
today?
Shit.
All right, let's continue moving on with the show.
I almost just lost it all. Yeah. I'm going to spit it all out. What's your thesis?
Statement is that we will never again in our lifetime see a comic book trilogy as great as the Dark Knight trilogy ever again. And I'll defend that. I'll explain why. So
I don't think you need to.
What?
You don't need to, but
I
think so. Yeah. Comic book trilogy, yeah.
Because, like, here's the thing. You don't get that many directors like Christopher Nolan ever in a lifetime. You just don't see that many. There's a lot of great directors, and there's a lot of people who, like, we've talked about a lot of these different directors. And we did Master and Commander recently. You know, Peter Weir is a great director. Love Peter Weir. We talk about, you know, Danny Boyle. We talk about Catherine Bigelow. We talk about directors
Zemeckis,
that are...
Soderbergh. Like, there's a lot of directors that we've talked about on this show and just in the careers of watching movies.
Yeah, and also directors that do genre films. Everybody from, like, you know, John Singleton and Tyler Perry to, like,
Tony Scott.
Yeah, even. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody has a different flavor, and there's a kind of general proficiency that keeps you working as a director.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really start to look at the directors who have consistent careers, like long careers with more than like one or two great movies, like we ranked David Fincher's top movies on an episode of our Patreon recently.
Yeah.
Arena throughout her top five. We started talking about that. It's like, you're looking at those five movies and you're like, that's truly a masterwork five films. With Nolan, you can say something similar. And so to get a director like that, to commit to making a trilogy of comic book movies, it's just not something you ever get.
Especially when it's written and directed by him and his brother, essentially. Like, the writing, again, if you even take away Nolan as a director,
yeah,
him and his brother as writers are some of the greatest ever as well.
So to even have something on the same level as this, I mean, I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, this is a better trilogy than the Captain America trilogy,
which is
so far.
The only other one
which
that
is
I think
really
is in close contention.
Good trilogy.
But, like, it's not, like, Civil War is not a Captain America movie.
No. And it's just, this is just a much better trilogy.
Yeah.
It's more impactful. Winter Soldier is, like, a good enough movie to put on the same level as these movies. Mm-hmm. Civil War is, like, a shade behind.
Thor is not even close. Like, no. Maybe Black Panther? Maybe.
I mean, or
who
Wonder
knows?
Woman if they like.
Yeah, or Wonder Woman.
But it's just hard. The stakes are so much more real when Batman is just a regular guy, and these movies are masterworks. They're like truly incredible. I mean, we're going to talk about the opening scenes.
Yeah.
In fact, before, well, I'll move on because I want to talk about everything. So, fist pump moment is our next segment on the show, and this movie has a lot.
There are so many fist pump moments in this movie.
Bane. Fist pump moment is that moment in the movie. Something happens. You look around. You're like, are you seeing this right now? This is the coolest thing I have ever seen. Literally, I get to watch the rest of this movie. I'm so fucking pumped.
There's so many in this one, and most of them come from one scene for me. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, when do you want to do Ultimate Action Scene? Because I almost think we should just start with it.
Yeah, let's just do it now. So, back in the day, even though we just watched the trailer, we did a thing called Ultimate Action Scene when we first started the show. And it was the idea that we were going to take one scene from every movie and do the ultimate action scene from it.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. it was a better idea.
We did a bunch of them.
It was good. But this movie seems perfect, and it's the first time that Batman and Bane meet, and they battle right after Miss Selina Kyle betrays him. We're going to queue up our ultimate action scene right now, and I think both of our fist pumps are probably in here.
I have like 12 fist pumps.
Not as serious as yours.
Not as serious as yours.
We could just talk like him for the rest of the
days. So awesome.
He's so jacked.
Gained 20 pounds.
Let's not stand on ceremony here.
But he's like a little guy.
Yeah, he's really not that big, but then with Warrior in this movie, he got
5'9".
Yeah.
I could kick Tom Hardy's ass.
So the opening of this scene, where he just lets Batman hit him.
This has cost you a stag. Victory has defeated you.
The way he talks is just so awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The cadence, like... So my first fist pump is coming up right now. It's block, kick, throw him over the edge, and it's the way that Batman lands, and then Hardy climbs down the chain.
That's
my first fist pump.
Yeah.
He's so jacked, and he's just like, you can fly? Cool. Don't need to.
I'll be a hair slower than you, but more controlled, and I'll just climb down this chain.
And beat you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorite shots right there.
Yeah.
They show the guy because he's like looking down like uncomfortably. He's like, this is so sad to watch.
Yeah. And also, it's probably horrifying that there's this person that's this evil that just beats the shit out of Batman hand to hand. Yeah.
Like, they're terrified. They're scared of him. How could they not be?
Follow him. Then I will kill you.
Theatricality and deception. Powerful agents to the uninitiated.
But we are initiated.
Aren't we, Bruce? Second fist pump when he says his name again.
Aren't we, Bruce? And you
betrayed us. Third fist pump. Feet off the ground being carried by Bane.
My gang of psychopaths.
Christian Bale is such a bitch in this scene.
Yeah, he really is.
I am the League of Shadows.
What a weird guy Tom Hardy is.
Yeah. I saw him make a tweet yesterday that I'd love to talk about.
Oh, yeah?
Or it was recently, yeah. I'll write that down.
Just, like, doesn't even flinch.
Fight like a younger man. There's nothing held back. Is that admirable? But mistake.
One of the best.
Yeah.
You fight like this. A much younger man.
You think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark.
I was born in it.
Molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then it was nothing to me but blinding.
It's so sick. Yes! This is my next ultimate fist pump. Right here.
Because they belong to me.
Cracks.
Oh, I just can't even.
Yeah.
I will show you where I have made my home whilst preparing to bring justice.
Just a quick little fuck you to throw in there while he's dying. Oh, we're stealing everything that's yours.
All precious armory.
Precious armory.
Gratefully accepted.
Gratefully accepted. We will need it.
Incredible.
Yeah, he's just so matter of fact. And then the last line.
Yes! I was wondering what would break first. Spirit.
Oh.
Oh,
God!
You have a vertebrae protruding from your back.
All right, Marissa, that's perfect.
So sick.
Thank you so much.
Hard for that not to be the fist pump.
There's so many incredible moments in that.
This movie, I mean, that whole scene, this scene's amazing.
Yeah.
So many of those lines. I also love on the airplane at the beginning, the first time you hear Bane's voice.
The first line is incredible.
And, you know, you're not going to talk. It's like, you might wonder why you shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane.
And the guy's like, shit, and he grabs him. Yeah, it's so good.
It's such a weird choice that they must have made the choice because he was so hard to understand to go in and, like, augment ADR's voice. Because they ADR every line, right?
Every single line, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I remember the first time I watched it, and the first moment when you hear the perhaps he was wondering why you'd shoot him in.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, because it sounds weird.
It does, and especially in the theater, it was so magnified.
And
it,
jarring.
It almost sounded bad. Almost.
But it's honestly grown on me as time's gone on.
I've watched this movie the most in the trilogy. It's the one I turn on in the background more than any other one.
Interesting.
Because Batman Begins, you got to pay more attention to. Dark Knight pulls you in too much.
Yeah.
This one, you can just hear Bane being awesome.
Dark Knight, I've also, like...
The last act is really hard to care about.
Yeah, and also, it's weird, like, I don't know if it's... It's kind of like if there's an album that you really, really love from a great artist
Dark
and
Side.
You've listened to it so many times, and it's also the most listened to and discussed album. And then there's, like, the longer follow-up album that comes out that's, like, just, like, way weirder and it's got way more stuff to it. And you fall in love with that one
because
you haven't heard it as many times. There's more to it. That's kind of how I feel about Rises is, like, I guess I feel more affection for a lot of it because I haven't watched it as many times. And, like, Dark Knight's, at this point,
hard to discuss anymore because
it's the greatest comic book movie ever made.
Period. We just talked about it so much, many times. So yeah, that's.
So I said like 6 fist pumps. Did you have one that you wanted to throw out, or is it just the beginning, the shoot a man before throw him out of a plane?
I mean, so many of them. One that I would go with that I really, really, really do love though is I love when he's like Ben Mendelsohn's like, you know, walking around using my cement crews, that's not making me any money.
Yeah.
And he's like, leave us. And he's like, no, stay. I'm in charge. And he puts his hand on his shoulder.
Yeah, he rests the back of his hand on his shoulder.
He rests his hand on his shoulder and he's like, do you feel in charge? He's like, that's like one of the best moments in the whole movie.
That really is.
It's such a strange move.
Because it's like if you put your back, that's like literally the weakest thing you can do.
Yeah.
And even that would probably be horrifying. For him to even touch you with his hand would be horrifying.
Just incredible. Yeah, that scene, there's like that moment. I also love when they're in the sewers and he's like, Gordon shows up and he's like, and you brought him here. And he's like,
why?
He goes, search him, then I will kill you.
Yeah, he just grabs it, search him, and then I will kill you. I'd be like,
Yeah. No.
So there's
awesome. Pretty.
So what if I search him really well to let you not kill me?
Follow him. He just shoots him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
I think I just want to do it then. We're starting the conversation anyway. What is the more enjoyable performance for you between Bane
and Joker
and Heath Ledger's Joker? More enjoyable, because I think without a doubt, the greater performance is Heath Ledger as the Joker. You know, he wins the posthumous Oscar. It's the greatest villain probably ever.
Yeah, I mean, he is the most iconic villain other than Darth Vader ever created.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
The two of them are like he's just referenced as many times as he ever could be, and he will continue to be, and he's one of the transcendent performances of all time.
Yeah, and he deserves all that recognition. But
at this point, it's like when I watch the movies, what am I more entertained by?
Yeah.
And I got... It's still Joker for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I love Bane. I do. And I feel like a lot of people think this movie is underrated, and a lot of people don't like Bane in this movie.
So let's break it down just a hair. So we got each character's first line.
Yes.
I think...
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stranger.
Stranger is better than... Or perhaps you're wondering why you're shooting me on flying out of a plane, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a better start,
because there's a tongue-in-cheek comedy factor to Bane that doesn't exist with Joker.
Yeah, he just speaks in these
it's almost like in a lot of ways that Bane is the ridiculously legitimate one, whereas Joker is the totally legit one.
Okay. I don't know, and the way they deal with their... But Bane can actually fight, which is like my favorite thing about it is that they fight.
And then Joker's fighting is kind of crappy.
It's like a joke because he can't. He even says, he's like, you think that I'd run all my chips and face you hand to hand or whatever?
Yeah, right.
One on one. God, you
know
what?
Who's more frightening?
Who's more frightening? Who would you rather be caught in an alley with late at night?
Neither of them.
Right? They're both going to kill you. I think I'd rather be caught in an alley with Bane, because I think he would just snap my neck, whereas the Joker would, like, do something terrifying.
Sell an explosive cell phone into the lining of your stomach?
Something like that. Damn, okay.
Bane is so frightening. I think Bane's scarier.
They're so... So more enjoyable, the pen through the eye, the pencil through the eye is one of the greatest things ever. Throwing the money at Mr. Lau.
Yeah.
I gotta go Joker, too. I really wanted to go Bane, because I love him so much.
I quote him endlessly.
Yeah.
But Joker,
it really
man.
Does feel like Bane is so much more of the ridiculously legit villain for us, because he's so much more quotable for us than the Joker. Like, Joker's not really quotable. He's, like, memorable.
Yeah.
He's just not... We don't say his lines all the time.
I think it's for the exact point that I told you, is that, like... What if you go around trying to, like, you just kind of come off like a loser, whereas like Bane, everyone, because it is the tongue in cheek and it is kind of playful that, like,
okay, so then
easier to do.
On the other hand, like, this is the only other portrayal of Bane ever in a movie is god awful, and it's in Batman and Robin, and it's
god awful. It's amazing, Bane.
And,
yeah, it's really bad.
But there's multiple other portrayals of Joker, and they're all entertaining to some degree, and also like a little bit derivative. So it does feel in some ways like Ledger had the easier time creating a character. Even though Ledger's performance is superior, there's more of a basis. Tom Hardy literally had all that stuff we're talking about, all that weird shit, like him putting his hand on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And the strangeness of the voice and the way that he walks.
And the cadence and like,
with stuff with his fingers. You know, when he's standing and he's doing this with his fingers? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He like moves his fingers really quickly.
Yeah, when he's,
it's like fucking weird. I don't know. Yeah, that way that he talks is so strange. I don't know.
That's... I love the fact that that like when his mouthpiece gets broken, he's like immediately crippled.
Yeah,
like there's just so many cool things about Bane. I wish I was doing research right before the show, and it was like 8 distinct characteristics of Tom Hardy's Bane that separate him from the Joker. And I wish I would have had time to look at it.
Yeah,
I didn't. So go look at that article, maybe, is what I'm trying to say.
There's like...
the acting with the eyes is like, as an actor, that is one of the most impressive things.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments is when he catches his hand.
Yeah.
And then he kind of is like, he's like looking at him ashamed because he says, victory has defeated you. And he's just like this look in his eyes of just disappointment.
Yeah.
That I just...
Because he thought he'd be like a worthy adversary.
Yeah. It's just amazing. So... as much as you just sit there and talk about how awesome Hardy is, it's like you still got to go Joker.
How can you not?
How can you not?
It's like the greatest performance of our lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Other than Julianne Moore and Magnolia.
Yeah, of course.
Love. All right. So let's continue through the show here. Let's get into star profiles.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad that there's not a live audience for this one because I feel like people would be really on board with talking Bane versus Joker, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully in the live chat when this does air...
Yeah,
after
hopefully we'll be able to check it out.
Both dead.
Yeah. I really want to see... I feel like most people probably side with us. As much as people love Hardy, it's got to go there.
I think we also have an irrational love for Hardy. I mean, I know you do.
I do.
You have a Hardy boner the most of anyone.
Hardy hard on. So Christian Bale's 3 most recent films. This was a really interesting time in his career because he was definitely on his way up. He'd been Batman, but I think he was kind of having a trouble like figuring out what the next step of his career was going to be.
Yeah, this is his like post... Like what it is with Christian Bale, if you go back to the beginning, there's like Empire of the Sun and Newsies and all the stuff in the 80s and 90s, and then he really becomes like a man, like he's a full grown man in American Psycho, and that's like 2001 or 2000.
That movie's so good.
Yeah, and so it's like he was one of those guys that was like a sex icon, women loved him, women and men loved him. I mean, he was just this gorgeous guy who was very talented. And then it's around the time that he's Batman that his career like next levels.
Yeah.
He gets to that like household name level. And that's when honestly
Terminators.
That's all. Yeah, like exactly. That. I mean, his next. So pretty much from 05, I would say, from Batman Begins to about 2012, he's on like a crazy, crazy, crazy run.
He's like the biggest superstar actor in the world.
He's like as big as it gets. Like, it's like him and Leo because it's like. You know, it's like 05 is Begins, and then 06 is Prestige, and, you know, he does, like, 310 to Yuma in 07, and he does, like, Dark Knight in 08. He's got The Fighter that he wins the Oscar for in 2010, Public Enemies in 09, Terminator. He just was doing all these major, major, major movies.
Yeah, and then you go to the other side of it, and you look at Tom Hardy, and this is the ignition of the rocket that is Tom Hardy, and he does Warrior in 2011.
Well documented.
You guys know how we feel about that movie.
Yeah.
This Means War in 2012, which is like the big A-list stupid rom-com. You got Chris Pine, Reese Witherspoon, Tom Hardy.
Miss Rockstar loves that movie, one of her favorites.
I heard it's actually really good.
I've never watched
it. I still haven't either, but I heard it's actually really good. Marissa, you like that movie? She left us. Yeah. Yeah. and then I love this movie. I think a lot of people... Like, I think it's Jason Clarke's best role. I think Shy is awesome in it, and Tom Hardy is just cool. Lawless, 2012.
Tom Hardy like literally gets his head cut off and reattaches it.
He really does. He like gets his neck sawed off. He gets shot a bunch. Yeah, it's hilarious. So
I like Lawless. I think it's totally good. What I actually wonder is who directed Lawless because I feel like
that's actually just looked this up the other day.
Kind of thing. Is it John Hillcoat? Maybe that doesn't sound right. It's like somebody that I think we maybe know.
It is. Let me look it up. I know this. I literally just looked this up like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything.
Or like somebody, one of the Hillcoat. Planet of the... What?
It is Hillcoat.
Is John Hillcoat?
Okay. Nice. There you go. There you go.
I knew that. I was just showing you.
Yeah, sure you were. okay, so moving into production development. This is just classic Nolan, produced by all the people that he works with, written with him and his brother. His brother is Jonathan Nolan. Jonathan Nolan and him, they have written a lot of movies together, including Memento, The Dark Knight Trilogy, The Prestige, Interstellar. You wonder where Chris would be without his brother.
And you wonder where his brother would be without him.
Yeah,
you know, they've both done a lot of stuff. I mean, Jonathan Nolan is behind Westworld. He was a huge person behind Person of Interest, which is like a big show. Yeah, both very, very successful. David Goyer, one of the writers on this film, wrote all of the films with them, as well as tons of other stuff. He is the
Blade Trinity.
He's the guy that we've referenced many times. Goyer graduated from USC in 1988 and sold his first screenplay for Death Warrant in 1989, which starred Jean-Claude Van Damme. With his first paycheck, he bought a new Isuzu Trooper, which was stolen the very first night he drove it home.
Yeah, one of my favorite Hollywood stories. First of all, Isuzu Trooper, and then someone decided to steal an Isuzu Trooper.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and then Chris Nolan, I mean, where do you even begin?
He's probably going to, I think... Dunkirk is going to win Best Picture this year. Many people disagree with me.
Yeah, I actually talked to my buddy, who is the vice president of distribution over at Fox Searchlight.
Yeah.
So he did Shape of Water and Three Billboards. He is almost positive Nolan's not going to win anything because the Academy just hates Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Which is such a bummer. I would like to see Dunkirk win something. I don't think it will, though.
It's going to just totally miss.
I just feel like there's something with him in the Academy. The fact that Christopher Nolan has never been nominated for Best Director until now, and that he's only been nominated for Best Picture once for Inception.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just crazy with the amount of work that he's done.
And great work, too.
Incredible work.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I probably totally miss on this one, but I just have this sneaking suspicion that this is the year that he gets recognized, and that Shape of Water, as great as it is like a movie that I think a lot of... I mean, maybe Three Billboards wins, and it's just nothing to do with Dunkirk, but I don't know. I have my suspicions. This film is produced by Charles Roven, co-founder of Atlas Entertainment. Him, Emma Thomas. We've talked about this crew now several times.
Yeah, Emma Thomas is his wife. They do everything together. They met at the University College of London, and she and him are just like one of the coolest power couples in Hollywood.
Yep. Absolutely. Nolan continues to just make great stuff, and I'm very excited to see what his next, like, 10 to 15 years looks like.
Me too, because he's not going to have anything to do with comic book movies. He's going to step away from that world for so long that it's just like, I mean, he already did the war film, but, like, when's the next Memento coming? You know, that type of movie. When's the next...
Yeah, he'll keep making it. He already made his big Prestige. Sci-fi movie. Yeah, like, he'll probably make some, like, incredible, like, bank robbery crime movie, I'll bet.
What if he did, like, a badass horror? What if he did, like, Annihilation? Something like that.
Wild.
Yeah.
I just, like, Inception to me, and every time I go back and watch that movie, I'm always just sort of blown
What's
away.
What's Nolan's best movie? This isn't even something we're going to discuss today, but what is his best film?
Well, remember, when Dunkirk came out, I went and did that top 10.
Oh, you did. Remember what was that? Your number one?
Inception.
It was Inception.
Dark Knight, number two.
Yeah, I think you have to do that.
I think my ranking was
so good.
Inception, Dark Knight, Prestige, Memento, Begins, Interstellar, Dunkirk, Rises.
Do we rank them on
Insomnia? Following?
We might rank them on the Dunkirk.
We might have on. Yeah, we might have.
Yeah, that sounds right. he's just the greatest. So, let's go into box office and critical. Which, if you guys know, The Dark Knight. It is basically just breaking numbers all over the place. So Warner Brothers, excuse me, produced this movie for $250 million. It was a summer movie released in July of 2012, the 20th. I know that I saw that in theaters. I'm sure you did as well.
Oh, twice.
Yeah. It grossed $448 million domestically, an additional $636 million foreign, for a grand total of $1.008 billion. And in its opening weekend, it made $160 million.
No, 1.08.
What did I say? 1.008 million.
Oh yeah, you said 8 million.
Yeah,
I thought you said 800 million.
No, I didn't.
It would actually be 1.080 billion.
Oh yeah, because it'd be two zeros.
Yeah.
So we're both wrong.
We're both dead.
We're both dead.
Callback.
Right, callback. So critically, this movie has 8.4. It's number 65. On the greatest movies of all time on IMDb, which...
It's fucking preposterous. It's a great movie, but this is not the 65th best movie ever made.
There's so many things.
I said that I hate the Alfred stuff. I really don't like any of it.
Yeah, so let's talk now, because I think we've got a little bit of extra time right now. Talk to me about Alfred and the other scenes that you hate in this movie.
There's just a lot of stuff in this movie that I think is kind of silly. So, like, I think that all the stuff, the no man's land stuff, when Gotham goes to shit
and there's like all the crews running around trying to get back to it. I think him like doing push-ups to heal his broken back in the prison is absurd. I think.
Do you think him escaping the prison is absurd?
No, I think that's fine. But then he escapes the prison, and despite the fact that he's broke and has nothing and is in the middle of a desert with a newly healed broken back, like somehow manages to, within like a day or two, or maybe it's weeks. I've seen people complain about this.
I'm not a billionaire, but I'm pretty sure if I was a billionaire, I'd be able to access my money pretty quickly no matter where I was in the world.
I don't know. And then like there's just stuff that's like kind of silly. Like, there's just a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I guess I don't love
Catwoman always showing up when some person robs someone else that shouldn't. Yeah, that they shouldn't rob.
I really don't like the Alfred storyline in this movie at all. I hate the story about seeing you at the cafe and then they're at the cafe
at the end.
There's just stuff in this movie where I'm like, this movie is 25 minutes too long. If you had literally just made it Batman versus Bane and that was the story,
taking out Alfred,
it just would have been better. It's like, don't. You're doing like a callback to like a traumatic moment in a previous movie in the series that like it just doesn't feel necessary. And to
you're also like completing Alfred's dream that he had.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's So I get that. I understand that. But for me, it still doesn't fall apart as much as the end of Dark Knight.
The ending of Dark Knight
is real bad for me. Yeah. Like I have a really hard time watching that. Whereas like all those moments, they're kind of filtered in throughout the movie, whereas the end of Dark Knight, I'm just like, I just want this to be done.
There's also the Robin stuff. There's too many characters in this movie.
Yeah, JGL is a great role, but you wonder if they needed to call him Robin.
No, they definitely didn't.
Just to inject it.
What the fuck? Why? What's the point?
Yeah, we're not gonna see it.
Yeah, yeah. There's just no need for it.
No one's ever gonna direct
Robin doesn't
movie.
Need to exist in this world.
It's fair. So all critics give it an 87. Top critics give it a 75, and the audience gives it a 90, which, I mean, that makes sense.
The formula for our show makes sense.
But we had another thing that we wanted to talk about, and that's the better opening.
Yes.
Because Christopher Nolan, when he made this movie, he specifically said, if you were blown away by the intro of The Dark Knight, then get ready to kick it up 10 notches in The Dark Knight Rises.
And there, look, it's an argument, which is the better opening.
Yeah. And in this one, I am 100% in for The Dark Knight Rises.
You think there's a better opening?
I love The Dark Knight. I love the heat feeling about it. I like the bank robbery. I think it's genius with the bus and the killing everybody, and I like that. But the precision that they take that plane over and like bolt things into the side of it with a bigger plane and like they turn it vertical and,
then it goes
and rips
vertical
the wings
and the wings
off.
Break off. That's one of the coolest parts.
It's just genius. And and they did it practically. So like for me watching that and to hear Christopher Nolan, the creator himself, be like, I'm going to do a better job, even if it was just more flash and bang, I got to go with the intro to TDKR, man. It is so badass. You get
so
Bane
crazy.
And
he blows up the thing and then they come down the shaft of the plane and they do a blood transfusion with Pavel.
Yeah, and I love that the... But we started the fire.
Yeah.
He's like...
Oh, brother. Yeah. You need to find one of us in the wreckage.
And the guy just goes,
fire rises.
Okay, yeah.
Fire rises.
Yeah, it's...
And he goes, now is not the time for fear, doctor.
Yeah.
Fear comes late.
And then plane drops. Hanging. And they're just hanging over the world.
Yeah.
It's just perfect.
It's so cool. Yeah, it's so amazing. You've got Aidan Gillen in there just being just a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
So was getting yourself caught part of the plan?
Of course.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Course.
So what do you do next?
Crashing this plane.
Yeah, the plane.
And leaving no survivors.
Yeah. It's just, it's amazing. And it's the intros to both of them is incredible.
You know what, though?
Are you doing it? Are you going to do it?
I think so.
God damn it, Bateman.
I love the intro to this movie, and it is a strong argument for being greater. It's certainly technically harder to pull off. But again, I think that the intro to Dark Knight's more iconic. I think it's like the precision.
I mean,
and the
I think it is more iconic because the movie is more iconic.
And the way that it's set up and like just the first line, three of a kind, let's do this.
Yeah.
I know why they call him the Joker. Like, and the music and everything. I don't know. I just...
There's a longer buildup to the Joker, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's the scenes about the same length, there is a longer buildup to him actually talking because he's like...
I love that first 7 minutes of
it's
that movie.
So good.
I mean, I adore... Maybe it's a 50-50 split on this one. It's a little harder to make the decision, but they're both incredible and just super cool and like...
It is crazy to think that we're having these two conversations on this show.
Yeah.
Like that we're actually comparing the two of them and comparing the two entrances when, like, to 90% of the rest of the world, it's like not even a conversation to have. It'd be a waste of their time.
I think TDKR is like such an under. I mean, when Collider did it on top 50, I think it was number 36. Feels pretty low.
That's so low.
Feels some of the movies that were ahead of it were like, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah, it's really bad ones.
The Crow was ahead of him pretty well. Crow was ahead of
him. Covered that on here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. No, just joking. It is. It's got to be his most underrated film in his whole catalog. Nolan.
Yeah, what's funny is when I think back to that top 10 list that I made, I don't know that anything moves. I still think Insomnia is his worst movie. I still think Following is second to last. The only ones that would move around for me if I was really going to move would be Rises, Dunkirk, Interstellar. Because Memento's still 4 and Prestige is still 3. So it's like, I think Begins is better than all the other ones we just mentioned, but maybe Begins is a little lower for me. Maybe it's TDKR at 5 and it moves up like 3 spots or something, but I don't know. So
I hope this doesn't get us in trouble. Actually, I just won't be specific. So there's another very big director that Collider is going to do a series on. They just did the superhero one. They're going to do it on a huge director, and I'm sure that you could probably figure out who it is. And we had to pick our 10 favorite movies from him.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to do Nolan's top 10 than it is to do that guy's top 10. For me, because it's not because they're not as good, but it's because the drastic difference between 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for me with him is so much bigger. Whereas with Nolan, the difference in points between 1 and 5 is like is so small,
marginal. And like I have so much more affection for Nolan. I mean, Nolan to us is just a filmmaker that really connected with us growing up. He's a guy who made his best movies when we were exactly the age we were talking about. His best movies all came out when we were like 17 to 25.
Yeah.
You know, like he seriously made like in the time that we went from like high school age to college age to like young adults, that's when all of his most impactful movies were released. So it's not surprising that we like Nolan like the most. He's our guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's our guy. He really understood what movies were becoming for us when we were understanding what movies were.
If you were 17 in like 1978.
Yeah, exactly. The other dude would
the movies that you'd have that would have come out between then and the mid 80s would just be like amazing.
Yeah,
just amazing. So,
yeah, it's an interesting conversation, but I definitely think for me in our lifetime, Nolan is probably he's the GOAT for me.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so this is kind of ridiculous and redundant, but moving on, we've got favorite line.
Favorite line.
We have to say them in our Bane voices.
Yeah, I think there's zero question that they're all just going to be Bane lines, but...
Yeah, I mean, mine is, how you can take so much and leave so little for the rest of us. Is it good? Is it sexy like she did it?
You did a really good job.
Are you uncomfortable?
I think,
Are you uncomfortable?
No. I think that probably Bane has all my favorite lines. I mean, the one thing we didn't mention that I do really love about this movie, and it's not a favorite line, but I do love the way they set it up so that, Bale, when he makes his first comeback as Batman, that he goes and puts on a show and he's just, you're kind of like, you're this like over the hill kind of like, you're just like living on the ego of the past. And mm-hmm. As much as like you don't want it to be about putting on a show, you totally do want.
You totally put on a fucking show and you get the bat wing and everything. And even the cops like, oh, you're in for a show tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Put that thing away before you hurt yourself.
You know, he's like, I'm showboating, I'm Batman, I'll fight harder. And it's like, you know, his ego got to him. I like that. I like that
these
part
guys,
of the movie.
These aren't your average boss. Neither am I.
Yeah.
You know, and then it is the perfect turn with him just getting destroyed by Bane.
Yeah, the stock exchange. There's so much in this movie I love.
So, my actual favorite line in the whole movie is the "You think darkness is your ally."
Yeah, right.
It's my favorite one. It's just written so well, and the scene, and it's long, so I won't do the whole thing since I basically did it when we watched the scene. But yeah, you think darkness is your ally, and I think my favorite part of it is that he says, "I was born in the dark."
Yeah.
And by the time that I saw light, I was already a man, and to me it was blinding.
Yeah.
It's just such a cool line. So that's my favorite line.
I think maybe for me it's you fight like a much younger man, holding nothing back.
admirable,
yeah,
but mistaken.
I love that line, and I also do love when he says, "Victory has defeated you."
Yeah. So my second one is a theatricality and deception. Yeah, our powerful agents to the uninitiated, but we are initiated, aren't we, Bruce? And it's just like I also one of my fist pumps in that scene too that I didn't mention was when he says his name the first time, and it cuts to Hathaway, and you see her face.
Yeah,
she's like that crippled old man who I knocked over, like that is gonna fight Bane.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
dead.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, do you guys have a favorite line? I feel like we've probably covered every All single person's favorite lines, line ever, yeah, in this
we
movie.
Must have.
But if we didn't, throw them in the chat, throw them up on the page. Ben and I are dead, so we won't ever see them.
Yeah. You mentioned it a fourth time. It's only funny the third time.
No, man. Comedy works in four. Isn't that what they say?
So anyway, guys, there are only a couple of segments left on the show. One of them is the three action movie count. It's a long day.
It's a very long day.
We've recorded four videos today.
Luckily for us, I hope everyone's just watching and laughing along with this episode.
Yeah, hope so. Only one last thing left, and that's the three action movie categories. Totally ridiculous, totally legitimate, ridiculously legitimate. Which, if you're watching this, you probably know what those categories are.
Do you think that there's one for each of these? Or do you think... Because Dark Knight, no, I think Dark Knight and Batman Begins were both totally legit for us. Legit? See, I think Batman Begins might have been in the middle category for you.
I think they're all totally legit.
Yeah.
I just think even the bad stuff in this movie doesn't lose me. I don't, start laughing. Bane's terrifying.
Yeah,
he's
Bane's
great.
And he's one of my favorite performances ever. And
he snaps Pavel's neck in the football stadium.
Yeah, it's sweet. In front of, like, thousands of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a moment in any of the films, but since we're just talking about this one, where I lose it. So I'm going to have to say it's totally legitimate.
I agree. Totally legit. Yep. No question. All right. So what else we got?
No, I feel like we could probably just talk about something else a little bit more. What about your most quotable villains of all time? Do you have anyone in there that just pops into your head?
Most quotable villains?
Because, I mean, Joker and Bane are two of the greats.
Hummel.
Hummel is definitely one of them. Hummel's. I love Khrushchev.
Yeah, Khrushchev. Yeah, we used to do the top. We used to rank our villains. I mean, Hans Gruber is really quotable.
Bill Clay.
I think one of the things that makes a villain great is their quotability. So Vader.
Yeah. You gotta have sweet lines.
Yeah, I think like a lot of the
Tavington.
Best ones. Tavington. Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse choice.
Like, who the fuck is Tavington? Yeah.
You're like Darth Vader, the Joker, Tavington
from the Patriot. One of my favorites of all time. What? He is. He's amazing.
Yeah, the day that, like, I interviewed Jason Isaacs, I'm like, you're on the same level as, like, Darth Vader and the Joker.
He'd be like, don't be a dumbass.
It's Tavington, the Patriot.
I, like, tried to sell someone. I had someone over the other night. We were trying to figure out what movie to watch.
Yeah.
And they were like, we could do Gladiator, Dark Knight Rises, or... And I was like, you know, The Patriot is a really good film. And if you like... She was like, no, we're not going to watch that.
We're not going to watch The Patriot.
We ended up watching Dark Knight Rises, which was perfect.
Solid choice.
Whatever, Tavington's my favorite.
He's great. So, guys, we don't have a movie to throw in the pitch here because we don't know this is airing. And we're dead.
We're not actually dead, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will air.
It'd be really tragic if this aired after we died.
Yeah, this is actually the last episode anyone ever sees of us. That's not true. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So, with the time you do see this, probably, if you go to the Action Movie Anatomy fan page on Facebook, watch, this is just going to air next week. And people are like, what is wrong with these two people? You will be able to vote on a movie.
Them?
So that's what I think is going to happen. Is this is going to air, and probably they'll be voting on movies that can be done by you guys.
Yeah, I think the reason for that is just because, like we said, we don't know when this is going to air. We don't know if there's going to be big movies coming. There's so many big movies coming out in 2018.
We're getting close to summer, guys.
We're
almost into March, so it's not that far away.
And I know I've got a movie pass. I know you've got a movie pass.
We
will be covering a lot of new movies coming out.
Yeah.
So
patreon.com/teamaction if you guys want to go get additional content every single week.
Yeah, you can find me at Andrew Guy on Instagram and Twitter. You can find the podcast at AMA Podcast. And we've got two Facebook fan pages, Ben.
I mentioned one of them.
You did?
I did.
Which is the one you didn't mention?
Action Army.
Is anyone still listening to this episode?
This was a disaster.
This was not. We were like, this is going to be the easiest episode ever. We're like, we just wanted to watch that action. We just hope the action scene was like way longer.
We're like, an idiot can talk about this movie. No.
Not these two idiots.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's going to wrap us up. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Follow along on the Twitters and all the things. I'm Ben Bateman Media.
I am at Andrew Guy. And we will see you bright in sunny California next Wednesday, whatever Wednesday it is. It could be 2019.
Yeah, we're not lying about that one.
Yeah, we're not.
All right. Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.